I'd like to tell y'all, you're in for a treat tonight, but you had the treat this morning. I have been voluntold to preach tonight, and so many things within the church we do need to look at, and we're volunteers, but a lot of times we do need to be voluntold to pick up our arms and do what needs to be done. The talk tonight is on the fellowship of believers. And we all know what fellowship is, right? I mean, we have a fellowship hall that we still call the old auditorium, but it's a fellowship hall, right? And then we fellowship when we eat meals together. But is that all there is to fellowship? Or is fellowship when we're actually working together as a common goal, serving each other, serving God, doing things for each other? Is that not true Christian fellowship? And a lot of times fellowship has to do with physical activities that we're doing. I think back in my memory, when we built this auditorium, there was a lot of people that came and worked and fellowshiped, and there was a construction crew, there was people that were in charge, but there was other people that swept the floor up, cleaned up the debris from the construction, sanded cabinets, stained cabinets, sanded the paneling that no longer shows. You know, so there was a lot of group of people that did work on the construction. Years ago, there was a group of men that got together that put up a sign down on 183 and or replaced a sign. And there was, I don't know, 8 or 10 people that lifted this sign into the air while it was being fastened and doing it by hand. And that was a fellowship group serving Christ. And other people in the community noticed it and made comments. Hey, I saw your group of men down there putting that sign up. That was a nice task. It was nice to see that group of men working together to do that job. Things like the playground that we have out here, when it was redone, a group of people got together and decided that they were going to do it. We used to do a mail out where in this community, as new people moved in, well, a group of people met on Tuesday nights and mailed out information about the church. And that was a fellowship. That was a fellowship of people. And there was a lot of conversations, Christian conversations that went on and Christian encouragement that went on. And names like Ruby Fossil participated in that. And then young people participated in it. My children participated when they were young. They could lick the envelope. And so they knew they were working for God, working for Christ, and doing things for Christ. Okay, so if you've been involved with this weekend, yesterday evening there was a fellowship at the back of the property, a picnic it was called, okay? Whit gave a little devotional talk. He used Acts 2:42. This morning, Daryl gave a talk of preach. He used Acts 2:42. Well, once again, we're going to use Acts 2:42 through 47. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe about the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property, they sold and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the flavor for all the people. And the Lord added to their numbers daily for those being saved. This is the beginning of the church. The Holy Spirit had just been given to the apostles. Peter stood up and preached to a crowd of people from all over that had gathered for Pentecost. 3,000 people were baptized. What do those brand new Christians do? They don't just go home. They've got something new. They're excited. They stay around listening to the apostles and soak up what's being taught to them. They're trying to get close to the people who've been with Jesus and understand Jesus and have a better understanding with him. They pray. They devote themselves to this. They were filled with awe and wonder. All of this was a very exciting time. Do we still have that excitement today? Do we still have those feelings of newness with church, the newness of Christ? How do we involve ourselves with each other and share with each other like they were doing? People had come from all over for the Pentecost. They had planned to return home later, but now they needed to stay for a while and learn some more. Money and supplies ran out. They planned on a 3-day trip. Now they wanted to stay longer. What did the other Christians do? They started pitching together and helped supply whatever was needed. They were all actively involved. What was the result? Other people got to watch and see how these Christians were acting, how they were selling things and helping each other out. And God added to the church. The early church was a community of believers who was committed to one another. What a wonderful example of Christian fellowship. Then in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul describes the church as a body with Christ as the head. Chapter 12, verses 12 through 20. Just as one body, though, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we are all baptized by one Spirit, so to form one body, whether Jews, Gentiles, slave, or free, and we were given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but many. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being a part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not be for that reason to stop being part of the body. If the whole body was an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body was an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But if the fact that God had placed the parts of the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be, if they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. We are a diverse group of people. We have many talents. Everyone in here has all different talents that they can do, that they are good at, better than me at a lot of things. So how do we encourage each other to get busy and do work? How do we take our talents and put them to use? If you look at, I've talked to a lot of people that have moved away, and when they're moving, one of the last things I tell them is, look, find a church and get busy. If you get busy, you'll be part of that church. If you're off from the side, you won't be part. Find something to do. Find something, some way that you can serve others, some way you can serve. And if Sister Sally asks you to bring corn for a funeral meal, bring it. Bring it. It's serving. Each one of us must work together, and each one of us must do things in order to be part of the body of Christ. Each one of us shares a common life together under our head, Jesus Christ. Active involvement with each other is essential to being a Christian. Ephesians 4, 1 through 6 calls for active love toward one another, remembering what Christ has done for us. As a prisoner of the Lord, then, I urge you to live a life worthy of the calling you have received. Be completely humble, gentle, be patient, bearing with one another in love, makes every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit through the bond of peace. There is one body, one Spirit, just as you were called to one hope when you were called, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God, one Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. Be completely humble and gentle. What does that mean as Christians? How do we be humble? How do we be gentle? I look back in my memory, and I look at Jack Crumley. To me, he was a humble man. He washed dishes. It was part of his service to God. Hank Hoadley washed dishes too. They rolled up their sleeves, put themselves to work, got their sleeves wet because they were working, but they were doing a service for everybody. Jack says, Robert, it's really an easy service because nobody comes and tells you you're doing it wrong. But he knew that it was something he could do and serve other people. Selfishness has no place in the body of Christ. Unity and love is essential. Jesus commands us to humble ourselves and to serve each other. John 13, 12 through 17. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and he returned to the place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightfully so. That is what I am. Now that I, your Lord, teacher, have washed your feet, you should also wash one another's feet. I have set for you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Wow. How do we mirror these passages in our church here in Leander? What changes would we see if we actually mirrored Christ's service to others? What can each one of us do to improve our fellowship here? John 15, 9 through 16. Jesus tells us to produce fruit through loving one another as he has loved us and died for us. As the Father has loved me so, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandment. Remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you, and that your joy may be complete. My commandment is this: love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this: to lay down one's life for one's friend. You are my friends. If you do what I command, I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I call you friends, for everything that I have learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. So whatever you ask in the name of my Father, I will give to you. How do we bear fruit? How do we fellowship with one another and bear fruit? Is it things like the food pantry, visiting the sick, meals to the sick, meals for funerals? Is it Bible hour? Is it teaching others? Is it being involved in life groups? Is it supporting youth trips to Honduras? What about years ago when we sent a mission trip to Russia after the Russian bloc had fallen apart? There's two churches in Russia today because this congregation got together and supported a mission trip to Russia. Funds were given. Everything that was needed was provided for. Christ gave the growth. What about VBS? The whole congregation is involved in VBS in one way or another. That's what fellowship in Christ's church is like. So Paul closes his letters to the church at Thessalonica with words of advice to help strengthen the body. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11 through 24. Therefore, encourage one another, build each other up, just in fact as you are doing. Now we ask you, brothers and sisters, to acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you in the Lord, and who admonish you. Hold them in highest regard and love because of their work. Live in peace with each other. And we urge you, brothers and sisters, warn those who are idle and disruptive. Encourage the disheartened. Help the weak. Be patient with everyone. Wow. So he's telling them, y'all are doing good. Church in Leander, y'all are doing good. Right? But be careful. There's some people that needs encouragement. There's some people that needs to be encouraged to help. Make sure that nobody pays back wrong with wrong, but always strive to do good for each other and for everyone else. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Jesus Christ. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecy with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you and through. Sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. Fellowship. Rob asked that as we're given these lessons, that we tell of a few things personal. Okay? So, this church is special to me because. So each one of us can think, this church is special to us because of what? Because of the love that we have for each other. Because of the service that we serve each other. Because of how we serve the community. Why is this church special? To me, it's because of the love. Cannot make it without my church family. I can't. I need the encouragement of each one of you to continue on and keep the faith that we need to keep. I need to play volleyball, you know, with the kids. I need to teach the kids classes. I need the encouragement from everyone. Rob asked us, what's some of our fondest memories? I guess my fondest memory goes back to my children and raising my children in this church family. You know, the fact that B.W. Pruitt could come to my house, my son cried when he left because he missed B.W. He wanted to be with him. He wanted to spend time with him. And that's what family is about. You know, the fact that my children were able to serve and work, the fact that we had a group of people of like mind, of similar ages, that could encourage each other going through the same things. That's where a lot of my memories are. Then the last question is, what is my desire? Robert Copeland's desire for the Leander Church of Christ. What is our desire? Mine is that we will be known as a Christ-based church, a loving church, that we are known to be the Christians of Leander by the love that we show for each other, for the love that we show for our community. That's my deepest desire. Pretty simple. Just love. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, thank you for the great love and the great sacrifice that you gave to us. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for His teachings. Thank you for the fellowship that we have within this church. Thank you for the fellowship we have with you. Thank you for continually washing us and making us new once again. We ask you to mold our hearts to be more like you. Help us model our love to each other as you love us. Open our eyes and hearts to see where and how each one of us needs to change. Give us each the courage to make the changes for good. Forgive us, for we do fall short. It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. Well, that's my little talk. Y'all have to tell Rob that I got through it anyway. I love you. I love you all. I love you with the love of the Lord. If there's anybody that the elders can help that need prayers, needs anything, come talk to us. Right?